I was at Summer Games Done Quick 2024 this past week and watched the best speedrunner ever win baseball. I'll show some video from the event that you don't get to see from the mainstream. Tonight is July 7th, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game. I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
There's not that much hogwash tonight. The only hogwash is when I wrote the intro, I forgot to update the date. So I almost said this was June 23rd, which was 2 weeks ago. It's been a bit. Hello, everybody. And welcome back to We're back. We took a week off. Welcome to a post-SGDQ edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss sometimes the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. We're going to be reminiscing about the previous week on this episode. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here, thank you so much for being here. We do tape this show live almost each and every Sunday night over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. So, we are a podcast, so if you're listening to us on the podcast, welcome. We do have a Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. That is where you can find us throughout the week, and you will be able to see updates for things that we are doing throughout the week, or you can suggest actual topics for when the show is a normal show and we actually talk about gaming news and give your opinions that way, and they might get read on the air. I do want to open up this show with something that happened last week on Saturday, and we had announced this on our social media accounts, but a former host of the network here, podcast network here, we regret to inform you that Lieutenant Commander Eddie, who was part of the Starboard Power Coupling podcast about Star Trek, the Star Trek show you hope doesn't fail, which ran until 2019, passed away from his battle with cancer last Saturday on June 29th. Eddie was not just a huge fan of Star Trek and a funny podcast host, but a friend to many of us here at the network. The folks over at Orange Lounge Radio knew Eddie for way longer. I never actually got to meet Eddie. I believe I might have talked to him once or twice over Skype or whatever we were using at the time, but I know that he will be sorely missed. And my condolences go out to all of his friends and family, many of which are here at the network. So I wanted to start by dedicating this episode to Lieutenant Commander Eddie and all of those that knew him and loved him, including any of you who were listeners of his podcast. So there's no way to transition away from that. So let's talk about something that's going to happen next before we talk about what's going to happen or what has happened in the past week. The Voice of Geeks Network is a proud sponsor, once again, of the Southern Fried Gaming Expo over here in Atlanta. It is going to be taking place July 19th through 21st, which is like in 2 weeks. It's happening in 2 weeks. It's a big arcade pinball gaming convention with tabletop and indie games and console games. So it's a gaming convention. It started as a game room expo, so it was all pinball and arcade, and they have since expanded. We have been a sponsor since the very beginning. And I am going to be on one panel and running another event at this event. So on Friday night, July 19th, from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m., there is going to be a panel called Unleash Your Inner Retro Streamer. And I am on this because at one point I streamed old DOS games on my personal channel. So I am on this panel with Ash Said Hi, who is a host that does a lot. She's a Twitch partner, works with Amazon, did some stuff at TwitchCon, was one of the panel hosts at TwitchCon, big name in the Twitch community. She is putting it together, and then several other GDQ folks that I know that are local are going to be on the panel with me, including Cartridge Blowers and an Eternal Enigma. And we're going to be talking about unleashing your inner retro streamer on that. These panels are not streamed and probably not even recorded. Southern Fried Gaming Expo does record their panels, their Q&A panels with the big name guests, but not these smaller panels. And then Saturday night, starting at 7 o'clock, we're bringing back the Speedrun Showcase. So an Eternal Enigma and I are going to be back doing another Silent Hill game. We are going to be showcasing Silent Hill 1 for the PlayStation 1. So we're going back. We're going to be using some of that stuff from that inner Unleash Your Inner Retro Streamer. We're going to be using some of that knowledge to be able to do that on Saturday night and be able to project it on the big screen. So we're going to be doing those two things. So if you are going to be at Southern Fried Gaming Expo on Friday and Saturday evening, I will be on a stage somewhere. And you can check the app for more info about that. Tickets are still available. And you can find out more information at gameatl.com. And Dark Tatsuya says, sounds like a fun time. I think one of the arcade YouTubers I watch goes to it every year. There are plenty of arcade YouTubers there, pinball YouTubers that are there that I've gotten to know over the years. I actually met from the old network that I was on, John from Video Game Outsiders. Also, I knew him from the Video Game Outsiders podcast, but he's actually a big arcade YouTuber. I believe he's John's Arcade. And he was a guest one year at Southern Fried Gaming Expo. So we finally met long after I parted the network and they parted that network. But we did get to meet up then, and I think I appeared in one of his videos and everything. And he's like, oh, it's Bobby Blackwolf. And all his audience is like, who? I don't know who you are. And Dark Tatsuya says Dark Tatsuya misses his YouTube stuff, but I guess he just does the Video Game Outsider stuff now. I know he still does the Outsider stuff. I believe they've got like a couple other Outsiders brand thing that are behind paywalls. They're doing fine. They're doing fine. And as Sharon Matt says, from the tour video you did last year, it looks like a really fun time. A lot of pinball and a lot of retro stuff. It is. It is my favorite gaming convention. And I always wish it wouldn't end. When the convention started, the arcade was 24 hours because it was in the hotel. Since they moved into the place they are now, which is kind of like a convention center connected to the hotel, it's one big building. But it closes at midnight. They kick everybody out of the convention halls at midnight. So no arcade and pinball at 3 in the morning. But there's still 24-hour like tabletop gaming and things like that. So let's talk about where I was last week. So I was up in Minneapolis for Summer Games Done Quick 2024, and we raised quite a bit of money. Shack News reports that Summer Games Done Quick 2024 helped bring in the month of July in the best way by raising money for charity. After an exciting 7-day marathon in I like how this says Minnesota, Minnesota. It's Minneapolis, Minnesota. Good news, Shack. Good job, Shack News. The Games Done Quick team raised a final total of $2,546,295 for Doctors Without Borders. There was also another milestone that was hit during a hitless run of Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Games Done Quick announced that it had passed $50 million raised all time across all GDQ events. This includes the twice yearly main GDQ events, the all-women Fatale Marathon Week. So there's Frame Fatales, but they've got Flame Fatales and Frost Fatales for summer and winter. Get it? And side events like Games Done Quick Express from TwitchCon. So they also announced the dates for the next upcoming marathon, so you can block off your calendar. The next Flame Fatales, which is the all-woman speedrunning event, is going to be from August 18th through 24th. That is an all-online marathon, so everybody will be doing it from home. But then Awesome Games Done Quick 2025 will return to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, for the week of January 5th through 12th. And then Summer Games Done Quick is going to be back in July 6th through 13th, so after the July 4th holiday, but they didn't actually specify a date. So we don't know exactly where it's going to be. But AGDQ 2025 will be in Pittsburgh. I am convinced, because I've only been to Pittsburgh once, and it was for AGDQ earlier this year. It's always snowing there. There is snow on the ground in Pittsburgh right now. It's always snowing. It's always cold. I know this is true because I have never seen Pittsburgh with my own eyes when it hasn't been cold and snowing on the ground. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. S. Jeremy Mann says, always windy and cold. Pod Culture says that he has been there. And I think you're lying. That you've been there when it's not been snow on the ground. I think you're lying. You're probably not, but I think you're lying. Anyway, I actually do have some video that I shot from around Summer Games Done Quick. Now, none of this is any behind-the-scenes footage. I did not pull my camera out behind the scenes. They even had things curtained off, so you couldn't see backstage and see some of that. So you're not going to see anything that you wouldn't have seen if you were just an attendee at the event. But I did pull up a whole bunch of video, and it's kind of funny because I take like an actual camcorder, which is a relic nowadays because people's phones can do just as well as a camcorder. And they're like, why do you have a camcorder? And I'm like, because it's easier to pull the video off and it's got Steadicam and all that stuff. Anyway, so this was in downtown Minneapolis at the Hilton. Pride Week was when we got there, so everything was decked out in Pride colors all throughout the city. We saw a lot of Pride stuff. And once again, it took place on two floors of the hotel, floors 2 and 3, which meant also the hallways were also the event space. So it was, you had to have your badge if you went anywhere in the hotel that wasn't the lobby or your room, but they were able to kind of control the entire area. We didn't have to share with anybody else like we've had to in the past. Once again, we benefited Doctors Without Borders. And that was kind of, it was interesting because they're doing a lot of work, especially in the Middle East and especially what's going on, in Gaza. And they have some very specific wording about what we want to say about that because they don't want GDQ to say something on their behalf that, that hampers any of their mission out there. The only booth that was there is the Yeti, which was selling T-shirts and little plushies of Velocity, the mascot, which I actually did buy one of those. I fell for it. And then I got some video here of the World 9 area, which is the casual gaming room. There were two Virtual Boys set up, and there was an Amiga set up somewhere else, but this is where people were playing all kinds of different console games, either on CRTs, on flat screens. You would look around and people are doing amazing things because they know these games inside and out. Some of them are practicing for upcoming runs. Some of them are playing Pringles, the video game for Genesis, which is apparently a meme at GDQ. People were in there playing games and watching each other. People were doing their own speed runs. People were teaching speed runs. They were actually playing Impossible Mission here on this on the Amiga there. There was a board game room, which was pretty full almost the entire weekend. They have two Mahjong tables. They had a poker table, which, yes, was used for poker. They had four Crokinole boards because Crokinole is apparently the game of Games Done Quick. And people were just in here. They were either playing their own games or they were renting a game out from the game library, which they had a nice selection of board games over there. And this was open 24 hours. So there are people that were just in here the whole time playing board games, and the stream was on a projector, but other than that, they were in here playing board games. There were actually Crokinole tournaments, and Crokinole is a dexterity game. It's kind of like shuffleboard or curling or something like that, but it's with little, you know, with little discs on a board, and you're trying to slide it through. So I didn't actually get to play Crokinole all week because either everybody was playing or nobody was playing it. MagFest was there because they were showing they were promoting MagWest, so they actually had a little music set up where people could jam, and I jammed on the jam session a little bit. Then there was the arcade. This was provided by Psychic Drive, which is another arcade provider that goes to conventions, and they had a decent selection of like rhythm games, and they had some driving games. They had F-Zero GX, Crazy Taxi, Initial D. But they also had a lot of candy cabs that had like fighting games and stuff, which is something they didn't have in the past. So in the middle, they all had they had different fighting games, or like Tetris the Grandmaster was on one of these candy cabs. So people could be in here and playing in here the whole time. And there was one area, I believe, that did have the stream on the on the projector, so you could still watch the stream. Tiger Claw says, just noticed the Waka reverse cabinet. Oh, yes, you get to see the Waka reverse cabinet a little bit later on. There's a little bit more from that. But they had, you know, your standard Jubeats, Sound Voltex. They did have a pop-in music for the old school fans that were there. They had a Theatrhythm, All-Star Carnival was there, a Project Diva. So these are for, like, your rhythm game fans. Bishibashi Orange Right noticed, and yes, that was there. But yes, they had a pop-in music, and then over in one corner they had all of the dance games, so that they had a, I think they had all of the different ones. So, you know, they had a DDR, they had a, oh yeah, this was an interesting thing, I go back to this, there's a, they had a video pinball arcade cabinet, don't worry, I go back to it and I'll talk about it. But they had a DDR, Pump It Up, and two other dance games, Step Maniacs. Then they did have some a lot of pinballs. So they had Taxi, they had Venom, they had the brand new John Wick table, and yes, they did have the Insider Connected working sometimes. A Jurassic Park, a Star Wars, and a NBA Fast Break. And they did bring, they made sure to bring, there was Godzilla, but they made sure to bring Black Knight 2000, or just Black Knight, because that's the meme song, so that was actually there. They had the Godfather, limited edition of Godfather, which is a newer table from, I believe, American Pinball, I believe? Jersey Jack. They're Jersey Jack Pinball. So they had a limited edition of that. They had a Hot Wheels, and then World Cup 94, which is actually Dark Sakura's favorite pinball machine of all time. They had that there. Then they had a couple of arcade cabinets of like newer games, so like Nighthawk 2 and Death Ball. They'd have a Neo Geo cabinet, which obviously had Windjammers on it, and a four-player Battletoads, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So there was a lot of good stuff in here. Dark Tetsuya said, yeah, I heard the Black Knight theme during one of the breaks. Yeah, Daytona and Black Knight, are the, if you ever hear those songs on a GDQ, that means they're trying to raise money really quickly. So that's what that means. They need your money. And that's why they played those two songs. They also actually had like one of the claw machine. It was free play, and you could try. And I actually did wind up getting some candy out of the claw machine, which was kind of neat. And I'm like, oh, it was gum, and I'm like, oh, I can't really have this. They had you if you go to conventions, you'll see a machine that has like five bars, and like there's a light in the middle, and you think it's like it's Pong. And it is, and somebody actually taught me how to play it, so I was actually kind of happy that I was able to actually learn how to play it. I'm not very good at it, but yes, it is it's a rhythm game, but it's also like a bullet hell, and you're trying to like hit the balls and hit the little light so it goes to your opponent. But if you like hit on the beat, on the downbeat, then it goes faster. You like it holds it, and then it shoots it really fast. So there's some mai-mai there. And then a Taiko no Tatsujin over here. But I actually learned how to play it. So I now know that game, because it's all in Japanese. So if you don't speak Japanese, you don't know what they're actually saying. They also brought the MAGFest speedrun challenge, all that stuff, because the MAGFest people were around. So that was there. The video pinball was kind of interesting how this worked. So there's a screen. It's an old Atari arcade cabinet, but it uses mirrors and lights to... There's a black and white monitor TV at the bottom, but a mirror shows a play field that's actually at the top of the cabinet, and that actually has, like, actual lights, and it's aligned with the video... So the lights interact with the video, but like the flippers are actually like where they would be. And so it was kind of a trip to play. And this is an Atari cabinet, and it's called Video Pinball. And I'm showing like, I'm like looking up to where the actual play field is, and you can see that the little red lights are actually there. So that's the mechanical part. And then there's the video part at the bottom, and I'm trying to play pinball with one hand, which is why I'm terrible at it because I'm holding a camcorder with one hand and trying to play pinball with my other hand. So I thought this was super interesting. I'm sure people have seen it before. I'm sure other people have played it, but this is the first time I had seen it. All right. So anyway, the stream room is where all the stuff happens. So I'm showing some video from the intro the Legally Distinct GDQ trivia show. It was very legally distinct, which I will tell you, if you watched that pre-show, it was basically, it was the hosts, the on-air talent at GDQ were answering, it was, they were playing Jeopardy, but it was legally distinct from Jeopardy, about the runs. I will tell you that, no, they did not know what the questions or the answers were. They didn't know any of the questions or answers ahead of time because I was there during rehearsals and they had gibberish on the screen when they were going through rehearsals. So they actually had not seen any of those questions before. That was actual, genuine. They didn't know what was going on, or they knew what was going on, but they didn't know what the questions were. And it was kind of interesting to see how much they actually knew about it. As Sharon Matt says, that video pinball was actually from 1979. It was very impressive for its time. Yeah, like I said, used like mirrors and lights and stuff to do superimposing and things. So I'm actually going through some of the other runs that I wasn't hosting. And this I'm showing is actually the Alan Wake run for Alan Wake 2. There was incentive to do the dance, and I don't know if you've played Alan Wake 2, but there's a dance video in the middle of Alan Wake 2. And so there were actually like three or four rehearsals, and they got about, 20 people to get behind the stage, and the commentators all got, and then the runner left, and they all did the dance from the Alan Wake 2 video, the same one they did at, I think, the Game Awards with the old guards of Asgard. But they actually all did the dance in the back. Mike Def says, I haven't played this, but either people think that the dance is the coolest thing ever or the most cringe. I'm in the former. That if you look, there's the choreography here. Even the host actually went down and did the choreography. So everybody left their stations. The runner left, the commentators left, the host left, and they all went down and did the dance in the music video. It was a fun time. People didn't expect it unless they knew, unless you knew somebody that had done like the three rehearsals leading up to this. But it was fun. It was worth it. It might have been cringe to some people, but when you're delirious at like 2 or 3 in the morning and you just raised, tens of thousands of dollars for Doctors Without Borders, it's pretty cool. So where I'm at now, what we're showing now is the run you've probably seen. If you've seen only one run, you've seen Ken Griffey Jr. presents Major League Baseball for the Super Nintendo, being played by a Shiba Inu named Peanut Butter. So I was in the crowd for this. It was one of the few times the producers came up and gave the audience directions on, how to behave. They locked the door. They didn't lock the doors. They closed the doors, said nobody can come in. You could leave. So if you had to go to the bathroom, you could leave, but you just couldn't come back in because they didn't want to have any real distractions for Peanut Butter, the Shiba Inu who is playing. But they didn't say, like, don't go in the aisles. They didn't say be quiet. Because frankly, Peanut Butter has like three trainers, the owner, JSR, there was another trainer, and then there was actually a third trainer that I think posed as a security guard. So if you like see the person who's like security with sunglasses on, that's like another trainer that was just there and just played the part of a security guard just to be menacing. But they were like, yes, you can get loud. It won't bother Peanut Butter. It won't, and we were all told just to follow Spike Vegeta, because sometimes if Peanut Butter needed us to be quiet, Spike would tell us to be quiet. Some people in the crowd did go ahead and start chants when they probably shouldn't have, but we made it through. Mike Def says, I'm actually wearing my PBT from AGDQ right now. They had a new t-shirt for Shiba Gaming, for Shiba Baseball. And the Yeti was very smart. They were open, and right after this run, they had a line very deep, like 30 to 40 people deep, wanting to buy the new Peanut Butter t-shirt. So they were very smart about that. So kudos to the Yeti. So I tried to get some shots from where I was. I didn't want to like stand up and film and block anybody from the back, but yes, Peanut Butter is there. Peanut Butter was a good boy. JSR is a good human. I've gotten to talk to JSR a couple times. SJR Nomad says, was that one of the producers given the rundown? Yes, that was, and one of the runner, he was also a runner. He goes by Shockwave. He also ran Minecraft Dungeons, which was also an interesting story that kind of percolated throughout the event, and I'll talk about that one in a little bit. But yeah, Shockwave's been a producer for a while, but he also runs games. And I think he's like the lead producer, I believe, for GDQ. There was a point that PB just got tired of doing things and he just walked off. So I was trying to get some like video of that. Tackle says you hear button a lot because that is that's the command that they've trained him on is button. So this isn't the end yet. I showed some stuff. Oh, this is the seventh inning stretch. So we all sang the seventh inning stretch in the seventh inning. They were going to do something that was kind of interesting that they didn't do. I heard that there was some talk from attendees in the event that, you know, because they wanted to like start with an anthem and they weren't going to do the national anthem just because they didn't want to wade into those waters. But they were like, I'll stand for the speedrunning anthem. It would have been like the... I think they were trying to see if they could get the rights to do have the song that the YouTuber Summoning Salt uses in all of his speedrun videos and have everybody rise for that and that be the speedrunning anthem. They didn't wind up doing that. But they did do the seventh inning stretch. So the run itself of Ken Griffey Jr. Presents Major League Baseball went off the rails a little bit. It was tied at the ninth inning. And that means you go into extra innings. And JSR and Peanut Butter were on like a very, very strict, tight schedule, right? Basically, like all the eating, all the walks, all everything the entire week was very strict. So Peanut Butter would be able to perform for the 25 minutes he needed to perform. And they've been training for like 9 months for this. And even before Gyromite, really. And it got to the bottom of the 12th and we were like, they're going to probably have to call it because it's going to be 30 minutes and that's going to be it. And then Ken Griffey Jr. went up to the plate the batter before got a double. And then Ken Griffey Jr. gets up to the plate in the bottom of the 12th inning, one out. And the Mariners outlast the Twins 5-3. That is the clip that got posted, believe it or not, on the ESPN app. It was also shown on some other sports in some other countries. Some of the sports shows showed it. I do not know if ESPN actually showed it on television. I don't know if it made SportsCenter. I don't know. I believe Scott Van Pelt was not working this week, or it probably would have been the best thing I saw today, which is one of his segments. So it hasn't been out there yet, but maybe when everybody comes back from the 4th of July holiday, maybe next week ESPN will show it at some point. Mike Deff says, my friends and I were watching this over Discord and we were on the edge of our seats. Hey, we were all on the edge of our seats here too. And this was the only run. This was the only time the entire week that area was full. This was the only time they basically filled that ballroom that we were all in. There were always empty chairs, even for the finale, even for the Kaizo races, even for all the other stuff. This was the only time it was filled. And that's probably why they also closed the doors and everything, because people would be trying to go look around for seats. And, you know, it's just better to have everybody in before this all started. If you're wondering, I did actually get to meet the goodest boy. PB was out granting audiences with SGDQ attendees after the run. Peanut Butter does not like his head being touched. He's kind of weird about that. So the back is perfectly fine. And I did not get a video of me with PB because that is a time between that time is between me and Peanut Butter. But Peanut Butter actually gave me like 10 to 15 whole seconds of scratching his back. And so we're best friends now. He is the best boy. And PB and I are best friends. So somebody had mentioned the Waka Reverse cabinet. Well, yes, it is here. And they actually did a Waka Reverse showcase. And this is the first time that GDQ has actually had an arcade cabinet on stage. And they actually had it in front of the stage. But because they had the dual stage set up, they were able to work on getting this set up in the hour that it takes. And then while the last run was happening, so they could actually get everything on the screen. So he actually did a full Waka Reverse showcase live in the stream room instead of us all watching a monitor, which is what it is when there's online runs. And it was so we could actually see that, yes, he's actually able to do this, and we probably couldn't do it ourselves. So the showcase was neat because what they did is they played some easy tracks, which is not something people tend to do when they do these showcases. They want to show how hard it is, and then they do some easy tracks as well. But then we did actually get the hardest song in the entire game, which I believe is this one that we're seeing, which only like 4 people in the world have ever like gotten an A on or something like that they were talking about. Tigerclaw says, I heard this game went offline because the service behind it shut down. Yes, and what they did... is when it went offline, they patched the game so it could run offline. So they took out all of the online DRM, and they basically said, here it is. And they even released like a final song that was like very tearjerker, and it was the last bit that they did of the main showcase was that final song that they released on the final week when they turned everything off, you know, made the cabinet work offline, essentially what it did. Because this cabinet still makes money. They're just not releasing new content for it. And it had a very small but dedicated community because it came out during the pandemic. And so that was quite unfortunate because people weren't going to arcades for a couple of years. And this was an arcade game that was slated to release in like summer of 2020 when nobody was going to arcades anymore. And then the last video I have is from the last night, because I always try to get some of these. This is the 2 million during Super Mario RPG. Like I said, they raised up. We raised up to 2.5 million. Actually, this is the 2.5 million. So this one we hit 2.5 million, and then there was another rush to get to 2.54 million to actually get the boss, the 3D Kulex boss fight. I was actually with my fellow hosts who were like, we're not going to get this. I'm like, oh, no, it's easy. It's easy. We've got this. But I was up here to see everybody's reaction for the 2.5 million at something like, you know, 2 a.m. because, you know, things get more delirious the later you get. It was a big fun time, and it was kind of nice to experience it with people who had never been to a live event before and only watched on television, and they didn't. It hits different when you're actually there. If you're watching on stream, you're like, oh, cool, they hit 2.5 million. It's a different feeling when you've been there all week and there's a whole bunch of people that have been working to get to that point, and you have that cathartic release when a milestone like that happens. And so a lot of these people that are here, maybe a lot of them have been there the entire week and they have been, you know, raising money all week for this. It's a cool experience. It's a very cool experience to be a part of. I am so glad that I have had the chance to be a part of SGDQ as long as I have. That was my 9th event, and I hope to do many more. And Tiger Girl says, what time did it happen? Because I was laying in bed trying to watch the rest, but couldn't stay up all night. I think the show wrapped at 3 a.m. Central Time, I want to say. Actually 2:30 a.m. Central Time. So it was probably 3:30 Eastern. Cause I think we went to, cause somebody was actually asking, we're like, we're going to do a big host photo. And they were like, what time? And I remember saying like, oh, it'll probably be 3 o'clock by the time we get cleared out of the stream room. So it was about 2:30 is when the entire show wrapped. So that 2.5 million probably happened at 2 a.m. Central, which is 3 a.m. Eastern for you. So yeah, it was pretty late. They got behind about an hour because I think the finale was originally supposed to be at 1:10 a.m. Central, and it wound up being more like 2:30. But it was not the 6 hours that it was last year at SGDQ where like the finale was like at 6 a.m. Central and like the sun had gone up outside. That was kind of weird. But I got to host at Summer Games Done Quick as well, and I added the videos to my playlist because I've got a big running playlist, and there are 48 videos in this playlist. That's a lot of time of being on GDQ. Now, I will say one of these videos is a finale video, I'm pretty sure. Yes, so it's so really I have done 47 speed runs. There was a video that was just the finale because I'm in the finale as well for that year. That was SGDQ 2022. But I hosted five more games, and this was kind of an interesting time because I didn't really get to meet the runners at all. Like I tried to have conversations with them, but I did not actually get to really talk to them. I sent them stuff. They're like, okay, cool. I'll tell my commentators that you're going to be hosting. Thanks. And that's it. So if you've ever wondered, like, do they know, like, do the hosts and the runners ever talk to each other? No, not always. Some runners absolutely want to talk to you and get, you know, tell you times to think about. Other runners are like, eh, we'll just play by ear. And some runners just don't even respond. Luckily, I haven't had any non-responsive runners in a while, but I know other hosts, they reached out and just got nothing back. And so it's not a requirement that the runners and the hosts have to talk to each other. It is very much encouraged on the host side. And they also encourage the runners to do it, but the runners can always just say no. So Mega Man 9, Buster only, was the incentive and was already met by the time I got there. It was being run by Slurpee Ninja. And it's kind of interesting also because I don't really watch the run as it's going. I'm listening for key phrases and I'm listening for vibes, but I'm not actually paying attention to what they're actually saying. And I'm not really paying attention to what's happening on the screen. Apparently, this run, the commentary was extremely cringe. There were a lot of innuendo. And it made some people uncomfortable. And I was even told that I was contributing to it because I was reading donations that were matching the vibe of the couch and all that stuff that were contributing to the innuendo. And nobody at GDQ said this. This was all like just people watching. GDQ itself was fine with it because they could have shut it down at any time. And SJ Matt says, yeah, this kind of went off the rails at some points. And now, from what I understand, like one of the couch was trying to actually explain the tech. The other two people on the couch, one of which I worked with before and had a great time with, were constantly just trying to be humor. And trying to kind of derail everything, or not necessarily trying to derail everything, they just were. But so either you loved this run and its commentary, or you hated this run and its commentary. One of the two. And so either you're welcome for keeping the donations with the vibe. I do know Neil Cicierga, and I do know the Bustin' video, so I know that was in there a lot. Or I'm sorry, because you get what you put in, and I put in and egged them on with some of that stuff. Mike Def says, I found it fine. I had a great time. There are people that wanted to actually like hear the intricacies of it, but Mega Man 9's been shown on GDQ before. So that was the first, and this is on day one. Like that's the third game of the marathon. I'm the second host. That's why there were only like $38,000 raised, which is still a hell of a lot of money, but you know, it's nowhere near in the millions. Then I did Ratchet and Clank. So Marathon Man. And Marathon Man was like, okay, cool. Like I actually never even spoke to Marathon Man after. So any chemistry that you may have found between me and him was like completely made up on the spot. Because he's wearing a Philadelphia Eagles hat. And so there were donations about, you know, cheering on the Eagles, which hurt my soul. But when you're the voice of the marathon, you say things that maybe you don't personally agree with. So somebody did donate saying that they liked the team that was from Pittsburgh. And like, I thought like Marathon Man was going to just flip the table and come right after me. So, Ratchet and Clank, this had all gold bolts. And, it was kind of in terms of like what I was doing, it was pretty straightforward. Like I said, there wasn't much I needed to know. And we weren't really pushing too many incentives because, like, we went out of the gate really hard. So there weren't that many incentives to push. So I could kind of sit back and, you know, not interrupt the run and not try to push too much. And then the third run was Tones Balones, who I remember as he does Splatoon. So I got to watch Splatoon for a bit. And I remember him because he did, like, I think in Splatoon 2 at, like, SGDQ 2019 or AGD, one of the 2019 ones. He actually, like, did the floss for the entire length of an unskippable cutscene. And so that's what a lot of people remember him from. That's what I remember him from. And Mike Def says, yeah, Tones Balones is the Splatoon guy for SGDQ, for GDQ. Yes, and that's basically what Tones Balones has run. So Kung Fu Fruit Cup was on the couch, which is good. Also fellow host, so knew exactly, you know, what to do and what was needed. And and yeah, so this was, like I said, it was an interesting run. It was a fun run. Kind of got to, you know, play around with donations. People were like, I can't wait to see what you do to top the flossing. And he's like, oh, don't worry, I got something. And then he actually, like, did something, and it was kind of interesting. I didn't get it because I don't play this game. But at the end of the Tones Balones run, he's like, you know, I did not play this game optimally. I played this game in a very specific manner, which is this random seed. So that's actually kind of amazing, too. And he's like, if you look, you'll see that you have been among dust. And so apparently on the left side of the screen, when he looks at his palette, you see in the 4x4 block on the left, it's the Among Us guy. And that was kind of his jab. And, like, a lot of people noticed, and then other people who'd never played Among Us were like, I don't really get what you're talking about. That was my first day. And then Tuesday, I actually did get to hang out with the runner before because, you know, it's Like a Dragon. And so I get to hang out with all my Like a Dragon peeps. So Froob was not there this time around, but Tapioca was with PMC Trilogy and Safecy on the couch doing Like a Dragon, the man who erased, Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name. It's a quick 1 hour speed run. Smoking kills. That's what we learned because the cigarette is overpowered. The cigarette gadget in this game is overpowered because in this game, Joryu, which is not Kazuma Kiryu, by the way, any resemblance to the Dragon of Dojima is purely coincidental. Joryu has these gadgets like drones and stuff, and the cigarette just, like, wipes out an entire room. It's amazing. So we had a lot of fun with this, and this was actually one of the runs where I told them, hey, you know, if you invite me into the couch, I can talk more, and they actually did. They all said, like, we're on the couch, and Bobby's on the couch, too. He's just over there. So I actually got to, like, contribute some one-liners and, you know, interrupt a little bit more. This one is one of those hosting shifts where, like, if you really want to just talk about, like, quote-unquote, the art of speedrun hosting, is that if you actually watch this run, which is at an hour 30 minute estimate, I don't speak much for the first 10 to 15 minutes because that's when they are establishing the tricks. But after about 15 to 20 minutes, it's really wash, rinse, repeat. Once you get the cigarette and you explain the cigarette and you show it a couple times, there's really not much new to talk about in terms of actually, like, strats in the game. It's just here, now we're going here and we're clearing this room and we're doing this because there's not that many glitches in this game. The only glitches are, like, you can take like one item through a door if you put it in a certain way and, you know, that it'll stay with you during the cutscene. That's about the only glitch. There's no, like, big out of bounds glitch where you're going out of bounds everywhere. You're basically just going from fight to fight and skipping all the cutscenes. So, but this one was fun just because, you know, I was able to actually kind of play on the couch as well after the first, you know, 15, 20 minutes, let them actually explain things. So it was a lot of fun. I will say that, no, there was no karaoke incentive because not everybody there wanted to sing. And that is perfectly fine. If they did not want to sing Baka Mitai, they shouldn't be forced to sing Baka Mitai. I will defend that to the end of the earth. But what we were pushing for, and we actually did get, was the No One Left Behind incentive for Mass Effect 2, which was the next game. And I believe when it started, when this run started, we were actually about 42% of the way there. We had $12,000 out of the $30,000 raised. We actually got the rest of the $30,000 right at the end of this run. Like, I think this run ended and there was $300 left, and we didn't even need the No One Left Behind incentive until 20 minutes into the next run, so that was easy. But they also had a bid war on if you wanted FemShep or BroShep, and it was probably the most lopsided bid war in GDQ history. It was like $3,000 to $169. It was FemShep. We had FemShep. So during the Like a Dragon run, I was really pushing the Mass Effect 2 incentive hard, and then I got to do Mass Effect 2. Still never watched the run, because you don't, but I will say that it did have something that was really interesting. They have the Bobby Skip. Sanjan ran this with Corvamay, who's on staff, and Mike Wave on the couch. And right at the beginning, there is like an out-of-bounds glitch, because they need to get to a character named Bobby.
Hi. How you doing? Oh, Dad Bobby. Dad Bobby. Sorry.
So this is a more recent skip found. We call it the Bobby Skip. This pretty much allows us to skip through, like, watching a bunch of doors open here, and we can quickly get to Bobby Deturian and start recruiting our fellow scientist Solarian Morden.
That should be a Valentine's Day card. I went out of bounds just to skip straight to you.
Ooh.
Yeah, that was my one line. And then I did, they had me sing later, there's I guess a variant of Modern Major General that is actually sung by Morden, I believe. And it's the funny thing is, like, I know how, like, the lyrics, like how the tune starts. I don't actually know how it ends, so I had to make up the end. And they donated it enough, like, I got like three different donations for it. I'm like, fine. It's my last shift. This is my last game. This was on Tuesday night. I wrapped early and I tried it, and I would go right to it if I knew exactly in the run where it was, but I don't know where it is in this YouTube video, so I'm not going to search for it. But it's in there, and they tell me I did a good job on it. So I'm going to take their word for it, because I do know, like, the beginning, the cadence of Modern Major General. I don't know, like, the end of it. So I guessed. So, yes, the Scientist Solarian. I did the Scientist Solarian meme, and apparently I did it okay. So, that was me at Summer Games Done Quick. I wrapped early on Tuesday night, and everybody, I actually got asked, like, so when are you on next? I'm like, I'm not. I'm done. I could have gone home Wednesday, but then I wouldn't have seen PB, and I wouldn't have seen the finale. I wouldn't have been able to hang out with people and, you know, play board games and play more pinball, play more arcade games. So it was at that point, it became just a vacation in Minneapolis. Went to a soccer match, or football, if you want to call it that. I went to a soccer match on Wednesday night. The home team lost, just like my normal home team loses, in pretty much the exact same fashion. But it was a nice little stadium out there. So I'm going to audition again. Once again, nothing is ever guaranteed. There is an audition process. You re-audition every time. Just because you've been there before does not mean you're going to be there again. So there actually have been people who have hosted way more times than I have that weren't there this week because they did not pass the audition for whatever reason. We don't, you know, that is between them and the audition and all that stuff. So I hope to continue. We'll see if I get magic number 10, even though I've only done four of these in person, so it doesn't feel like I've done nine, but see if I get magic number 10 in January in Pittsburgh. So I knew I was going to talk a lot about Summer Games Done Quick. And so we're not doing a music break tonight, and we're not taking other Discord calls tonight. But coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do, and we like to check in with them and see what's going on in the gaming industry. Because, you see, I didn't pay attention to any news of any kind, so maybe Orange Lounge Radio did, so they can fill me in. Sacramento, or are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm running on very little sleep because I flew back home this morning.
Yeah.
You know, I had a 10 a.m. Central flight out, which meant getting to the airport by like 8:30 or whatever, and that meant you know, leaving the hotel by like 7, and the finale ended, and we all said our goodbyes like at 3:45 in the morning. So,
I was commenting with a friend that also watches GDQ, like you know, just how late it finishes up for all of you. You know, for us here on the West Coast, midnight or 1 a.m. on a Saturday is not a big deal, but you know, add in the time change, it's quite the difference out there for you all when it finishes. So I wish I was able to watch it till the end, because I always appreciate the very random seeming raid that Games Done Quick always does at the end, to some random streamer. Like, I remember there's one of the ones I was watching, I think it was the year you were doing the finale, you raided somebody that was like just randomly playing Halo, and it's like, surprise, 70,000 viewers. Which, as much as that sounds like it's probably really pleasant, then that also means 70,000 viewers on your chat, which would be a lot.
Yeah. So I did hear about who they raided. I believe his name is Supersonic. And he was speed running at the time, and he got the raid and got to like a level 19 hype train and fully funded his new gaming PC, because that was his bits and subs goal. Is to get a new gaming PC, and he says, I'm going to SGDQ next year because of this.
So he's actually gonna
show up in next year. But yeah, no, he got a fully funded gaming PC, like, because that was kind of his little goal, and that's who got it. So he was very appreciative, and is beside himself.
The generosity of the GDQ watchers. That's great.
Yeah. So I was going to say, what did you watch from SGDQ? What did you enjoy?
Actually, so unfortunately, I missed your Tuesday stuff. I was actually streaming myself.
I know. I noticed. I was at the host desk, and my phone came up with like, Rob Roberts is streaming, and I'm like,
No, I addressed it. I said, when you are doing bad at your streaming schedule, you have to not let any excuse stop you when you have the drive to do it. I said, but if any of you want to leave and go watch Bobby, I completely understand. So I was even doing
Mass Effect 2 at the time.
Know, it's all on YouTube.
So what did you watch? Since I wasn't there.
I did see some of your Mega Man 9 a couple days before, for what it's worth. I did see some of that. I would say the most that I saw, though, was actually the Mario 3D randomizer run that happened yesterday. That was pretty neat. Just because I hadn't really seen one, or I don't recall one I've watched before, where the person pathed it out before, which, of course, how else are you going to do a randomizer blindfolded, mind you? Where the individual pathed it all out before and then actually like ran it, and like the memory to be able to do something like that was really impressive. So that was really interesting to watch.
Yeah. And once again, you're blindfolded.
Yeah.
So he pathed it out with his eyes, and Bubsia knows Super Mario 64 so well that he memorized it and then put a blindfold on and ran it again.
I thought at first that his commentator was dropping clues, because he would say things like, well, he'll figure it out that he's got to get to this flagpole on the right. And I was like, oh, is that him like dropping hints? But I guess with the headphones, they really don't hear anything.
The headphones
at first
are really
good. I was
really
like, he can hear his commentator in the headphones. But no, they addressed it later on. They said they only hear, I think, the host in the headphones.
Yeah.
So
and even then, actually, in the headphones, what he could only hear was
probably the game noise. To be
honest. Just the game, because he uses all the audio cues.
Positional things. Yeah.
And but I can also tell you, those headphones they use, like, somebody sat down next to me, because we have like a little shadowing program for like newer hosts can sit in with current hosts, and like somebody was like, "Hey, Bobby." And sat next to me, and I could not hear them. And they were like, "Why is he not responding to?" And then I noticed him. And then she put on the headphones for her own shift. She's like, "Oh, I can't hear anything."
Yeah.
So he only had the game audio. He could hear the cheering. That's about all he could hear. Yet you can hear the cheering through the ambiance.
Yeah, and then I have to remember that the guy, even though he's sitting right next to him, like, we're hearing it really loud because of the way the mics are balanced.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily as loud in the same room. Yeah. That's probably pretty noisy to begin with. But yeah. I thought, ooh, that would be a really clever little magic trick if that's how they were doing it. But no, it was even more of an impressive trick, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Bubsy is always pretty good with that. I remember, and there were a couple of the other runs that I watched, some of the Kaizo stuff, and you know, and also, like, there was the troll levels. That was a fun one to be in the room for, the Mario Maker troll levels.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's all these people that know Mario Maker really well, and then they just get trolled. and just, like, their reactions were just amazing.
So. But how fun that you got to be there the whole week and all that good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did you run into our voiceover guy, Jason?
I did. We wound up not actually getting a selfie together because every time I saw him, he was on shift, and so I didn't want to, like, do that. But we actually talked a bit because he was just sitting watch the door. And so, yeah, Jason, who does the voiceovers for Orange Sound Radio, worked safety, which is it used to be called security. They've changed the word to safety in a lot of places. Like, a lot of conventions do that now. Worked safety at SGDQ 2019 and then now SGDQ this year. So he was watching the door from like midnight to 4 at the beginning. So he was also front loaded. I think he had like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, midnight to 4 or something like that.
But he also stayed the whole week because he recorded our intro tonight from Des Moines, Iowa, I'm told.
Okay.
So he's on the road back.
I just didn't see him the rest of the week. I only saw him when he was on shift. And I was, you know, it was at cap. It was attendance cap. So that like 2,500 people had registered, which is the first time since COVID that they hit the attendance cap. So it was kind of there were a lot of people there.
That's pretty good. So, well, it sounds like you had a great time. I wish I had the time budget with the other things I do to take a week to do that. It sounds like it'd be a lot of fun, but unfortunately, I think I'm just going to have to hear the good stories from you all that get to go and, you know, watch what I can remotely.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are a lot of people also that only show up for like the beginning or the end. Yeah. You know, it costs the same. But it's actually like, I think it's like $85 for the entire week, which is like way less than like a day at Dragon Con.
Yeah. So, go to a Dragon Con for the weekend. Yeah.
But like, there are people that will fly in just for the beginning and then go home, or people who, like, for since this was July 4th weekend, they showed up on the 4th because they couldn't get off work for the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, but they had the 4th and 5th off, and that's when they came. So,
and I know we stressed this a few weeks ago on your show, Bobby, but I think it's worth saying again. If you've never gone to Dragon Con before, this really is the year to consider doing it.
I almost asked you because it's pretty much set in stone now. I don't know if we want to say it yet or not.
You know what? YOLO. Do it. Do it, Bobby. Do it. Say it.
Because it has been announced in other circles.
It has been announced in other circles. I was talking about the news we got today about a potential Thursday. So Thursday really is the new Friday. There's that.
Yeah,
but sure, if you want to spill the big beans, IDGAF, I've had a rough month. You go for it. You spill the beans.
All right.
Let's get it.
And so this is actually about both you and I. So this is both Rob Roberts and Bobby Blackwolf. We got promoted in the Dragon Con Pantheon. We are going to be hosting and moderating main stage panels at Dragon Con this year. We are on the official moderator list for all of Dragon Con, which includes actor panels in the big ballroom. You know, TV actors, movie actors, but also we're available to any of the other tracks if they need a moderator. I think there's like a list of like 30 approved moderators or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we are now on the list and are available to anybody at Dragon Con. We may get some, we've gone through some training. We actually did some training earlier this month. Mm-hmm. And, had to moderate a panel for a show we'd never seen before. Tried to see what we could do with
that. Bobby got to see me do impressions.
Yes, I got to see some impressions from Rob. So we're going to have a stacked schedule at Dragon Con, and it's mostly not going to be in the video game or the digital media track. Although
I still feel like I have at least 3 commitments of digital media. So
yeah. I have one, maybe now mind. 2.
I don't mind. At
yeah.
All.
Oh, I don't mind at all. But like,
and both, now that I'm thinking about it, you're right. We weren't the first to squeal on this because somebody already pinged the digital media Discord. Yep. You're right. Somebody already. So okay,
that's the circle. Yeah, that's the circle I was talking about.
Yeah,
because track directors were notified of our existence a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, or last week or something like that. So, but Baldur's Gate 3 voice actors are, you know, the video game guests. So, you know, we'll get on that, even though I saw how many people of the veterans were like, I play Baldur's Gate 3 all the time. I did buy Baldur's Gate 3 in the Steam sale right before I left, put it on my laptop, didn't play it all week because I was at GDQ. But I did get Baldur's Gate 3. I have it now. And so I'm ready.
Well, I'm ready for whatever. You know, we might end up with book authors and things that necessarily our fandoms we're not as into, but I am ready to take this moderation thing full time at Dragon Con. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really, really excited for it. So our schedules will not be out until probably 2 weeks before Dragon Con. And even then, it's probably going to change. But at least the whatever other tracks we end up on that aren't the main track would probably be pretty locked in at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've been promoted up now. We have been approved. The email went out, you know, saying that these are all the approved people. So now we're kind of putting in like, you know, videos of what we've done and everything. So we don't know what we're going to be doing, but we know we are on the list and it's a big opportunity. And I want to thank the track directors who recommended us up the chain. Because there were several track directors, Charles over at Digital Media, Jason over at Video Gaming, that we've worked with before, both Rob and I, and they put in very good words for us.
Another individual that is a moderator now, I'm not sure if we are allowed to name names, but if I could, I would. You know who you are.
Yeah. So thank you so much for all of that. And it seems that our reputations are good, even at the highest echelons of Dragon Con. So that actually makes me feel good as well.
So this is going to be a big year. So I'm really excited to see. And it's very interesting being in this position of we don't really know. Like, I could tell you there are things we do know we're doing on digital media. Like, there's that. But as far as like some of these other things we're talking to you about, we'll see.
Yeah.
But that's the fun. That's going to be the fun of it, to be honest.
Yep. So what gaming news happened this week? Because I didn't pay attention.
To be honest, Bobby, I feel like it's really kind of a dry period. We're still getting stuff out of Nintendo. We're hearing these interesting isolated comments. So tonight we're going to hear about Nintendo's stance on AI and using AI in game development. We'll talk a little bit about that. I'll leave you that as a teaser on which way they're going with that. We'll also talk about some of the comments on the Switch too, because you know Nintendo is very infamous for they put out a new piece of hardware and they can never keep enough of it in stock. So we'll talk tonight a little bit about what they plan to do to keep Switch 2 in stock, even though they haven't really officially announced the Switch 2.
Yeah.
So very interesting type of stuff. Meanwhile, Nintendo still chasing down pirates. We got more stuff on the piracy lawsuits, even more happening this week. So lots of stuff on that front. And Nintendo also saying goodbye in another sense to the Wii U. This one may surprise you because this one seems a little sooner than what we had for other consoles. We'll get to all of that and much more on OLR tonight. We're going to play a little word association at the top of the show to cover last week's news. So.
All right. Awesome. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I'll actually talk about the gaming news. We'll be done with SGDQ. But then remember, in 2 weeks is the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, and I will be hosting one event, and I will be participating in a panel about retro streaming as well. So check out GameATL.com for the Pinball and Arcade and Gaming Expo here in Atlanta, July 19th through the 21st. I am on social media at Bobby Blackwolf or at BobbyBlackwolf.com, where the skies are blue, if you prefer. You can and also on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. If you look on my blue sky, that is where you'll find photos from SGDQ, some photos that I took, posting some photos that GDQ took of me. So, you know, to prove that I was actually there because I'm in the photos. So you can find out all of that there. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make all of this work without the people who go above and beyond. You being here is really all we ask. But you being bits and subscriptions help us kind of just pay the bills, because we do have an LLC that just protects ourselves. And that costs a little bit of money. So thank you so much, Fifth Dream, for resubscribing with a less than three. Aw. Heart to you too. Dark Sakura resubscribed. Thank you so much. And also cheered 100 bits for tacos. always good for to have 100 bits for tacos. So, yeah, I am going to play the outro here. There it is. I will see you next week. We'll actually talk gaming news. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Southern Fried Gaming Expo in 2 weeks. Dragon Con, Labor Day weekend. Maybe I'll see you there. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.